We are looking at John chapter 18 and verse number 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Amen. Amen. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Amen. Amen. And so this morning we want to talk from the subject, do you? Amen. 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 Can everybody say, do you?
Do
Amen.
You.
Amen. One more time.
Do you.
Amen. Do you? Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Do you? In life, all you got to do is you. Amen. You is all you got to do. Amen. And in life, all you got to do is you. And if you remember that all you got to do is you. Oftentimes we get sidetracked. We get nervous. We get worried about how to do what is expected of us. But we want to focus on the fact that what God put in you is what ought to come out of you. And that means that you just simply got to do you. Amen. Amen. And in order to do you, you got to be you. In order to do you, you got to believe in you.
Amen. You're right. You're right.
In order to do you, you got to be your best.
All right.
You.
All right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You're right. You're right.
Then that's the aim of the sermon, is for us to know who you are, for you to know you. Amen. To know you, to know why you are here, to know what's inside of you. We often get impressed by someone serves us a nice plate or dish, and we wonder, what did they put in it? And you can't tell by looking at it. Amen. You can't tell by looking in it or looking at it. But it's something in there, but you can't tell what they put in it. And what's in something really identifies what makes it, why it makes a difference. But whether you're talking about plate or people, a baby is born, you look at the baby, but you can't tell what's in the baby. You can see the baby has hair, color of the baby. You can see the feet of the baby. But you still don't know what's in the baby. What can this baby do? Why is this baby here? What does this baby have to offer? Amen. And it's hidden inside. And what you try to find out is, what is this person going to offer? What did God put in this person? Amen. That means you got to find the purpose of the existence of the person. Amen. You got to find the purpose of the person. Amen. You know that the person was put on the planet, but you don't know why. You can see the person, but you can't see the purpose of the person. And so this morning we look at a story as Jesus now would die tomorrow. In our text, we see him being bombarded by Pilate. Pilate is asking Jesus if he's a king. They did not like the fact that Jesus had stated that he was the king. We find out that in Luke chapter 23, verse 2, that Jesus came with three things that got on the nerve of the religious leaders. They didn't like his teaching. They charged him with not paying taxes. And they charged him with trying to be the king. Amen. When people don't like you, they just don't like you. Amen. Sometimes you can't do anything about it. But if I stay focused on why I'm here, God would take care of the rest. One thing I don't want to do is abort my purpose. And they did not want to accept Jesus. And they said that Jesus was basically, his teaching was bad. He was undermining the Jewish teaching. They didn't like his doctrine. They lied on him that he didn't want to pay taxes. You and I both know he said, "Render unto Caesar the things that be Caesar, and render unto God the things that be God." But they were accusing Jesus of being one who would not pay his taxes to Rome. You see, they had to get him in trouble with Rome. It didn't matter if he was in trouble with the Jews. They didn't have the authority to take a man's life. What they had to do was, according to verse 31, what they had to do was to get him in trouble with Rome. They had the power. And so they said, well, he didn't pay his taxes. He's telling us not to pay you. Pay Caesar. Not only that, as I rush, he says that, look, and he's telling us that he's the king. He is the anointed one to come. He is the Messiah. He is the one who is to come and lead Israel. But that made Pilate think that there was another king here on the scene, because we know that Jesus trying to be a king would come in conflict with Caesar being king. They made it plain, the religious leaders, believe it or not, made it plain. They made a statement that is hard to stomach in chapter 19, verse 15. You wouldn't believe these words came out of the religious leaders' mouths. They said, the chief priest said, "We have no king but Caesar." What a terrible, terrible statement for God's people to make. To stoop so low and to bow so bad that you're going to say, you're going to deny King Jesus. Under pressure, they bowed because they didn't like Jesus. They said, "We have no king but Caesar. How in the world could they make such a blasphemous statement, an ungodly statement? Christians are supposed to be standing up for what's right. We're supposed to be standing up for Jesus. And here the leaders are saying, we have no king but Caesar. Oh, it was a fight over who the real king was. And the religious leaders were turning Jesus in to these Roman leaders, to these secular leaders, letting them know, we don't like the way he teach. He's undermining what we're teaching. We don't like the fact he said we shouldn't pay taxes to you, which was a lie. And we don't like the fact that he called himself the king. We have no king but Caesar. How in the world could those who name the name of Christ say we have no king but Caesar? They said it. They made that statement. It's in black and white on ink. It's in black ink on white paper. We have no king but Caesar. That's because they did not like Jesus. And he asked him in verse 33, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus says, are you saying this, or did they tell you to ask me this? In verse 34. Pilate said, I'm our Jew. Your own nation, the chief priests have delivered you unto me. What have you done? Jesus said to him, my kingdom is not of this world. He said it three times. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, then my servants would fight and I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now, my kingdom is not from here. What is he talking about? He is talking about the real king. He said, well, are you a king then? In verse number 37, aren't you a king? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I'm a king. You says I'm a king, and actually, you're right about me being a king, another virgin says. And Jesus answered, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. Jesus knew why he was here. Amen. That is to bear witness to the truth. And as you think about that, that's the thing that everyone must know. They must know that Jesus was just here doing himself, wasn't he? Jesus just went about doing himself. Amen. In order to do yourself, you got to be you. Amen. You got to be you, you got to believe in you, and you got to be your best you. Be you, believe in you, and be your best you. Be you. Jesus was Jesus. We know him to be one that is, nay, some unusual things happened out of the ordinary that they weren't used to happening. We know that Jesus was unique. He said, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 or 7 and 8, he says that Jesus, though he was equal with God, he found it not robbery, amen, to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, amen, and he took on the role of a servant. And the Bible tells us that he was found and fashioned in the likeness of man, and he humbled himself unto death. And notice what he says, even the death of the cross. Even the death of the cross. Now, death was already bad enough, but Jesus was more humble to not only just die, but he endured the death of the cross. He didn't just sleep. He didn't go to sleep in his sleep. This was a terrible death. Even the death of the cross. He was good that he was obedient unto death. but to be obedient even unto the death of the cross. I mean, he not only died, but he died in an unadorable way. They made him drag his cross up the hill, and they drove nails in his hands, and they put a spear in his side, put thorns on him. He died a terrible death, the death of the cross. He was obedient, and he was so obedient, he went all the way through the death of the cross, not just dying. Dying is bad enough. Amen. I don't think y'all want this little message. But the death of the cross. Will you get on a cross? Or would you rather just die in your sleep? Amen. Would you rather go to the cross, or would you rather die in your sleep? Amen. Jesus said, look, most folk, I didn't just die in my sleep. That was the easy way out. But I went to the cross. Amen. I got beat to death before they even put me on the cross. Have I got a witness? Amen. Jesus sets the example. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Amen. It's bad enough to, he was willing to die, but he was willing to die in a bad way, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ, amen, was just being Jesus. That's the way he does it. He not only go part of the way, he goes all the way. Amen. He knew himself. Amen. And we know that Jesus was, he forgave a woman one day who had committed adultery. Amen. And people, Christians won't even let you forgive you for that. But Jesus forgave him, and we find out that they brought the woman to Jesus, and Jesus tried to ignore them. If you study the text right, if you study John chapter 8, you begin to find out, amen, if you notice chapter 8, verses 7 and 11, Jesus tried to really ignore them, and he just went ahead and wrote on the ground. He didn't pay no attention, and then they kept on pushing him, and he said, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. Yeah. Yes. Amen. The one that's worthy got to be the one who does it first. Yeah. Now, he didn't say we can't stone her. He just said we got to find somebody qualified to start it off. Yeah. And it turns out that nobody, amen. I think I'm getting excited for nothing. Amen. And Jesus being who he was, did nothing happen to the woman. So it turns out that the woman left standing there, and Jesus said, where everybody at? I thought they wanted you stoned. What's the matter? Where they at? I'm waiting on the stones to come. He said, ain't nobody, apparently wasn't nobody qualified to stone me. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. But he told her something very interesting. He didn't say, you off the hook, don't worry about it. He said, now you go, but you stop doing that. Go and sin no more. You off the hook and ain't nobody qualified, but that don't mean you're supposed to be still doing it. You do not need to repent of your behavior. But I just want you to know, there ain't nobody qualified to stone you but me, and I'm going to let you off. But I'm going to say, go and sin no more. Hallelujah. Jesus is just being Jesus. He's just that kind of a guy. He healed a man who had been sick for 38 years. Told him to pick up his bed and carry it. Carry what's been carrying you. That's just the way he does things. Amen. He just carry it around. Amen. That's just being Jesus. That's just the way he does things. Jesus Christ is the one. And then we find out that Jesus says here that I want you to, in order to do you, you've got to be you. All right. Amen. And he says, and not only that, you got to believe in you. All right. Amen. Jesus was confident. Jesus believed in himself. Jesus knew what his mission was. Jesus had talked to the Father. So Jesus wasn't worried about them. And what we find out is that Jesus answered and says, to this end was I born. Amen. Jesus says, this is why I was. He knew why he was born. And he said, for this cause came I into the world. Jesus knew why he came here. Jesus knew. And one version says this way. So Pilate asked him, are you a king? Then Jesus answered, you say that I'm a king. I was born and came into this world for one purpose. Do you see that? One purpose. Amen. To this end was I born. I was born for one purpose. And Jesus knew what his purpose was. He knew what his mission was. Amen. And he knew that he was living a life by starting with the end in mind. I know why I came. A lot of people, if you just know where you headed, amen, amen, you don't have to be trying to figure out the process. You say, look, I'm called to die. I'm called to hang on a cross. I'm here, but I'm here to be the king. Amen. I came into the world for one purpose. I came into the world, and we have to understand what God's purpose is for us. What was Jesus' purpose for coming into the world? Jesus came to be the king. That's why he came. He came to be the king. He came to be the king. He says, I came into the world that I should bear witness to the truth. I came in the world to bear witness unto the truth. Amen. This version says it this way. It says that, so you are king, Jesus answered, you are the one saying I am a king. This is why I was born. And I came into the world. Why? To tell people the truth. That's why I came. You see, church, what you have to understand is the reason why the world is so fouled up is we bought into the lie. We've got the wrong king. Jesus says, my kingdom is a kingdom of truth. And my job is to get people out of a kingdom of lies and to get the right king. Have I got a witness? You see, Satan gonna tell you the false things about life, and there are so many people right now that are tied up in bondage. They're doing what they want to do. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to give to the church. They don't want to be a Christian. They don't want to work for the Lord. They think that it's more out there in the world. They think that the world has more to offer. They think beauty means that it's good on the inside, and they're busy partying, living it up. They're busy not listening to God, ignoring God. They got the wrong king, and it's all a big lie. They got the wrong king. Jesus said, I came to tell the people the truth. That's the one reason why I came. Do you know why the world is so fouled up? People are acting a fool. People are doing things they ought not to do, drinking what they ought not to drink, snapping. They want to live their life the way they want. You can't do that without buying into the devil's lie. Jesus said, this world is messed up. This world is fouled up. And people are doing the wrong things. They are in the wrong kingdom. They got the devil as their king, and he has fooled them from the very beginning. We got into this mess with a lie. Thou shalt not surely die. Biggest lie ever been told. That's what the devil did. Satan attacks the truth. And people are acting a fool. They're stuck in their own way. They do what they want to do. And pretty soon, whether they may end up losing their life or barely making it back to the church. But you biz out there experimenting with the devil, and God is saying, all he does, he make everything beautiful. He make you not want to listen to the truth, not want to listen to your parents, not want to listen to Jesus, not want to do what's right. But I'm here to tell you that holiness long term will make you happy. You know the happiest people in the world? The ones that have been doing right. You see, they turn Christ off, because when Christ comes into their life, to me, immediately they start cutting things off. They start backing up. Yeah. Amen. James, Deacon Pollard, where is he at? Deacon Pollard said, they start giving some pushback. Amen. They don't want the word. You shove this in front of the, and get, you tell them to eat, and they start pushing back from the table. They don't want to eat it, the truth. Every problem, that's what's wrong with your husband, that's what's wrong with your child, that's what's wrong with your neighbor, that's what's wrong with your coworker, that's what's wrong, I could say that may be wrong with your church, amen. some of the folks, I don't know. You see, the truth of the matter is, pride can get in the church, and I can think my way is the right way, but the bottom line is that it's all a big lie. And you can see the results of it.